That voice, you like that song. I can tell you like that song, Miss Kathy. You sounded different. And Mr. Rod, how do you make your guitar sound like that? That was fabulous. Thank you so much. Are we, yeah, I know. I was dragging it out on purpose to see if we could figure out what it is. So one more thing, Heather, I'm just going to do this.
Gets. Oh, you do have. Would you stay right here? And let me tell you why. Would you stand right back here a minute? Would you help put this thing back on my back right there? But don't bump it. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm really happy. I am really confused by why that just happened, because it appeared to me that those weren't working, and suddenly, I don't know. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to call a meeting of the sound team. So Heather, Bradford's, and me, and probably Sue Witter, anybody else that works on the sound team, as soon as the service is over, we're going to, here's a good idea, I want to do this, the call to prayer will be over there by our, in our prayer corner, and I'd like the sound team right up here so we can, because I think these are the perfect ways to figure out how to make things better. When it happens, let's do it, because that's what I'm talking about today. But before I start chatting about that, I got something to say. This is one of those days where I have a couple of very special privileges, and one is going to happen right now. I am told that Judy Thompson is here today.
Yeah.
How strong are your hobbling skills? Could you get up here, or do we need to come back to you? Oh, look at this woman using her new leg. Come on up here. Come up here a ways, a little ways anyhow. All right. Dangerous. Well, you stop right there.
Yes, ma'am.
You stop right there. You find a mic that works. And so I had a surprise. And therefore, you get a surprise. So I've been waiting for you to show up, and then your life just kept getting more and more interesting. And so I said to everybody, if you see Judy Thompson today, run and tell me, because this will be the big day. Yes, I know, but
fabulous.
I wanted you to be surprised, and you do. You look fabulous. You're home. You're getting around. You look fabulous. So here's the deal. Okay. All right.
Amen to that.
All right. So, and it's going to look like I wrote the talk for you, but I didn't. You just happened to show up today. So if the shoe fits,
yeah.
Look at her looking at my shoes like, no way, not with my new leg. So I got this letter from home office, and it said, Dear Reverend Karen Rice, please enclosed find a practitioner service pin for Judy Thompson, who has been a practitioner for 25 years. It's just a pin. We send our gratitude for her dedicated service as a licensed practitioner of religious science for the sacred community with Centers for Spiritual Living in Love and Service, Dr. Jane Ryder. Judy, this is your pin for 25 years of dedicated service.
You know I can always talk, but I will put it down here just a ways because I'm very big mouthed. But it's a very honor. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. This is cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even get a 10-year pin when I was working in California. So,
yeah.
Or New Mexico or one of those places.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful to be here. I love this place. It's like family. I came here in the door and Dorothy Moore greeted me. She did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And asked would I like to be a member. And some of you may know that I had to do practitioner training twice, because I lived 85 miles from a church and couldn't keep up my commitments. And after 5 years, you get to do this again. So your new practitioners, don't let it. It's a great experience, let me tell you. And I'm so grateful to be here and two yes. friends. Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, you're so welcome. Surprise. Congratulations. Well deserved, well deserved.
Okay, and I just want to say, for those of you who have not had the privilege of having a practitioner session with Judy, I have, and it really is an extraordinary opportunity to have your heart open in ways that are just almost unimaginable. So thank you, Judy. Even though you had that little break, the Centers for Spiritual Living decided that that break really didn't matter because they know that consciousness is always cumulative.
Actually, they adjusted her time away. That is 25 earned years.
Oh, really?
That is actually 25 earned years. So, good job. Way to go. And can you see what a privilege that is to celebrate greatness, to celebrate dedication, to celebrate that which we value and the great gift of service that being a practitioner is. So I'm very happy to, I'm so happy to get that out of my desk drawer and really into her hands, and she had no idea about it, so we're really excited here today. I'm talking today about healthy-minded living. So I'm not talking about healthy living. I mean, we are, but I'm not. This talk is not about how to live healthier. I'm talking today about healthy-minded living, which really gives us a place to participate in creating a life of well-being. And this is the month of May, and in this month, we're looking at Centers for Spiritual Living all over the world. Centers are dedicating their monthly themes to be aligned with each other, and it is about creativity. And I wanted to make sure that I threw in some kind of a message about healthy-minded living because it is something that we are participating in and creating or not creating in our own experience of life. So we're going to look at what it means to align ourselves to universal principles pertaining to our well-being, including our health, as we recognize something rather interesting, and that is that health is our natural state. So, you know, we say every week, every class we teach, there is a power and a presence that's greater than we are. There's a pattern for perfection that's everywhere present in this universe. And there are so many indicators, the ways we can see how it shows up. And that the spiritual path, the way we align our humanity with our divinity, is to begin to recognize those perfect spiritual patterns and to stand sort of in a way that we're aligned to that and to those values, and that it creates a different energetic in the way that we live. And we begin to, as we understand that, then we begin to attract more good into our life. So that's a way that we teach here. This entire philosophy is about cultivating a consciousness that is a consciousness for healthy-minded living. It is a consciousness for prosperous living. It is a consciousness for healthy relationships. And so there are different aspects that we can focus on as we're working to change or adjust our life in slightly different variations of that. But the important thing for us to really anchor in this morning is this idea that there is something that governs our health, something that is for us. It is an intelligence that we are created of. It is that which created us, and we can use it to some amazing capacity to create a better experience of life. And I think that saying it comes in healthy-minded thinking is such a gorgeous way to just sort of sum it all up. Hugh and I are wanting to live healthier these days, so we joined the gym last year. We did. We joined the gym. We you know, I got Medicare, so I qualify for the silver sneakers, and you know how I like pretty shoes. So I thought, well, that program must be for me. So we went down, and we became members of a gym. And I really love carrying that. It's a little thing they gave me to put on my keychain, you know. And I love it. I throw up my little Fry's card, because you're all shopping at Fry's so that we get the benefits, right? So I throw up my little, you know, right next to my Fry's card is my silver sneakers card for the gym. And Hugh and I have been conscientiously working it. We actually three, sometimes four times a week, will drive by the gym. We're really thinking about it. And that's kind of my point. It is true, we did this more than a year ago, and we have not stepped foot in the gym since we signed up. But we're thinking about it. And sometimes, especially if we're on the motorcycle, Hugh will see the gym coming and he'll go, okay, you ready? And I'll go, okay. And then we both together go, woof, woof, when we drive by. Wow, that was a good workout. You feel better? I feel great. You feel good? I feel great too. And that's, you know, that's the start of it. So it starts with the thought. And of course, what I'm really speaking about today is putting some intention behind it. And it is when we really add that intention, when we begin to cultivate it in such a way that we are calling it forward, something shifts in our consciousness. And then what happens? You want to go to the gym, or you want to do whatever your exercise is. I think I actually probably prefer walking around my own neighborhood, but I'll try it once. I think, Barbara, where are you? You should take me once. You should take me once. That would ease my pain and my fear. It's the thought. It is. But there is more. I don't want to stop right there. So let me tell you about the more. Dr. Kennedy Schultz, an early days religious science minister, wrote the book, You Are the Power. And from that book, Dr. Kennedy Schultz said, "Health is a power that eliminates disease by replacing ideas of sickness with better and greater ideas of personal wholeness." Right? So that's what we're talking about. How do we replace the ideas, our worries and concerns about getting sick or catching diseases or experiencing diseases, however you want to word it, how do we learn to have a different way of looking at it? And I would say it goes back to recognizing the truth about how these gorgeous bodies are created, the intelligence, the miraculous way they function all the time. And then when something goes a little awry, your body wants nothing more than for everything to get right back in order. So I was thinking about that old saying. Remember that saying? I don't hardly hear it anymore. If you catch a cold, you could stay home and drink plenty of fluids and get lots of rest, and in about 7 days, you'll feel better. Or you can go to the doctor, get some medicine, and you'll be well in about a week. Right? I don't hear anybody say that anymore. You're probably so young, you don't even remember hearing it before. Oh, okay, good. So what that implies is that these bodies we wear are welling us even when we don't feel good. That everything about us is designed to work it, to move us back into a higher level of functioning at that beautiful, vibrant way. I said, when you sang that song this morning, the opening one, and you said it's health and it's healing. You said healing first, and then the next one was health, and then you use the adjective you use is vibrant when you talk about health. It's about that. It's about that vibrancy, that which is the spiritual reality of who we are and how we were designed to live. So what this means is, let me give you a quick lesson here. If you really want to wrap your mind around, or you want to step into this idea of healthy-minded living, that you have to realize it's not a couple of other things. For instance, healthy-minded living is not about girding yourself up to do battle with some disease. Okay, because sometimes we say, we talk about the struggles or the challenges or the how hard it is. You're going to do the hardest battle of your life, I've heard people say when somebody gets a cancer diagnosis. I'm not sure that's welcoming news. You know, you get to decide as the individual if that's the hardest thing you've ever gone through. It is not, healthy-minded living is not about having some rigid beliefs around health based upon fear ideas so that you don't get all of those diseases. It's not about that. That's a backwards sort of thinking. Emma Curtis calls it the morbid fears that we have. It is not even about asking, why, God, why did this happen? And it is certainly not about believing God is testing you or strengthening you. None of those things are healthy-minded living. You know why?
Why?
Thanks. Whew, that was hard. It's because healthy-minded living, it happens when we're focusing on health, not all those other things. So it is about living in a consciousness of wellness. It's about being intentional and intentionally cultivating, nurturing, calling forward, because you're thinking about health and well-being all the time. So when we recognize that it's not something I have to do, but that there is a power and a presence and intelligence that created me, this, all that I am, that I am not separate from, and that when I begin to put myself in a higher relationship with that kind of truth, I begin to recognize that all life is holy, that all life is sacred, that these teachings have a truth or a reality to them that are much deeper than just looking at physical ways to maintain our health, and that really there is a lasting substance to this which we are talking about today. We actually call that intelligence God. And sometimes in the way that we refer to God, we start thinking about miracles. Like if you're experiencing some medical condition or some other condition in your life that's not related to health, that it's going to take a miracle to pull you through to the other side, whatever you envision that to be. And I would say that I just want to remind you yet again that it's not miraculous, it's natural. It is the natural motion of life to always be restoring us to higher and higher levels of health and well-being and comfort and love in our relationships and forgiveness and all of those things that are just elements of the experiences that we move through and that we always get to choose at what level we want to play at. So what we're teaching here, what we're talking about today, is cultivating or developing a consciousness that is dominated by the power of health.
Yes.
That's right. That's how you do that. So I'm not asking you to go home and eat tofu and then go jogging, though you can if that works for you. What I'm really saying today is that healthy-minded living is about healthy thinking, and that there is a new way to think about our health. I think the great reward of healthy thinking is that vibrancy that I was talking about. That way we have a greater awareness of the vitality in our body. We become healthier just in the setting the intention. And what I know is that we get confused and we get sidetracked by some of the scary things we think about. We have fear around sickness because we have a lot of fear around death. We don't like loss. We're not happy with change a lot in our life, and yet change is where all the good things come from. But when we lose our fear of sickness, when we rise above it, when we begin to have a healthier understanding of death, that death is a transition that takes us to a higher experience of life, when we begin to really contemplate those things, our life really begins to change. Psychology's been saying it for years, that the only thing we really have to face is our fear of death, and that our fear of death and the way we walk around trying to protect ourselves all the time is what keeps us from living. It limits our experience of living. And so the other privilege I have of sharing information with you this morning is not as happy as the news of Judy sharing her 25 years of being a licensed practitioner. This one has a serious little note to it. And you may have noticed that Reverend Nolie Hartwell has not been with us in quite some time, and that is because her husband has been quite ill, and last week he made his transition. Now, I already knew I was giving this talk, and I already knew the sources and had lined up the quotations that I planned to use before that happened. And I went and I sat with her last week, and I said, Reverend Nolie, and she'll be back. She may be back as early as next week, and she's so looking forward to coming back and joining us and sitting over there. And I miss how she's very engaged when she's sitting here, and I miss that, you know. So she's going to be back. But when I talked to her this week, I was sitting in her living room, and I told her, I'm going to mention this. I'm going to tie it into the talk because I think it is, she's doing such a beautiful job of moving through this change in her life, this major change in her life. And she said to me, she looked a little hesitant. And I said, but no, I need to. You're a staff minister with us. They need to know that you have moved through this experience. And she said, well, do me this one favor. Ask them not to be sad for me. Isn't that sweet? She said, ask them. She said, I can't bear the kinds of phone calls and cards I'm getting now where the message seems to be, poor Nolie. She said, I'm not poor Nolie. She said, I'm not even sad right now. I expect I will be sad. It's only been a few days. But I'm not even sad right now because he's not gone. And I thought, you know, I mean, it was a gorgeous, it's one of the best parts of ministry to be able to have those kinds of conversations with people who are in the experience of really getting it, and they're able to speak it in the way that they're feeling it, and you can see it all over them. And I thought, what a beautiful, I said, well, thank you. This is what I will tell them, because this serves as a great opportunity for education, because let's face it, how often do we actually talk about death in a positive way, right? And so sometimes I think we're being respectful when we get all solemn and say, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. And then every now and then, whether it's death or another kind of a loss or something tragic in somebody's life, people will say to you, do you ever notice this? You'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry you've had to experience that. And people will say, please don't pity me. You know what I think they're saying when they say that? They're saying what Reverend Nolie said. Please don't think of me as poor Nolie. And so I think that's a beautiful gift we can give her. And I think that's a beautiful gift we can give each other. And that is not to say that there aren't people here that would like people to feel sad for you when you move through your own experience, but that we get to be part of choreographing it, you know? We get to be part of choosing how we want to move through those experiences. I would hate for anybody to not come to service. You know, for instance, Nolie, I would hate for her not to come back because she's afraid of your encouragement that it might be making her more sad, right? So we can love her, we can acknowledge that this is a great loss, and we can talk about how wonderful that life is. See, it's a great privilege for me because I get to not only see her faith, see and feel her faith right now, but I get to witness her experience, which is a not so typical way of moving through this kind of loss. And that is a great and beautiful thing.
So what do you say if you don't say, Jesus, I'm so
we'll we'll have a class. We can answer questions in the, yes. But you know, I do want to say, since you asked, I remember I was a brand new minister, or probably I was in seminary and I was becoming a minister, but I had no idea what that meant yet. You know, I hadn't become it yet. And there was a tragic, sudden, unexpected a death of a young person. And the widow was devastated. And she happened to be a practitioner. And she was devastated. And I was asked to pray at the memorial service. And so I was sitting over there, and she was sitting in the front row right here. And nobody, there was an empty chair next to her. Nobody was talking to her. And I sat there going, oh, for goodness sake, somebody should be sitting by her, comforting her, or holding her hand or something. And I did not know what to say. And I went over. It's almost like the Holy Spirit got me up on my feet, and I sat down next to her, and I hugged her, and I whispered in her ear, no thought whatsoever. The words that came out of my mouth were, big love. That's all I said. And then I sat there, and I could not think of another word to say. And it was so awkward for me. And then I probably did the little token pat, you know, and I got up and I went and sat back in my seat going, ay, 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 and you're going to be a minister. But here's what I learned from that experience. She wouldn't have heard anything I said anyhow, right? And so the only words that came out of my mouth were big love, which, you know, was what I was feeling. And it is my word, right? And so what I would answer that question is, there's no perfect way to do it. Just have your heart open. Just love her. Reverend Karen told us, oh, it's so good to see you here. Is there anything I can do? Do you need it? Is there any way I can? And watch her joy and let her teach you. She's a minister. Let her teach you. And I would say that every circumstance is slightly different. And most of us know that because we're not real new at this. Most of us, because of our demographic, have been through experiences like this or have experienced our own losses. It might also be useful to ask people who have lost a spouse of many years, a loved one, and what they like to hear and what they didn't like to hear. And what you know what they all say is, it didn't feel good when somebody said, well, at least you have other children. Brené Brown has a gorgeous little short video. If you don't start a sentence with at least, you may be better off. You know, don't try and make them feel better. I guess that's what the message is. Don't try and make them feel better. Let them show you what they need. And just love. Just love. That's what we need to do the most. So we are taking this Emma class in which we are having these conversations. And so last week was especially rich because Emma Curtis Hopkins, this fabulous mystic that our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, studied under, Emma Curtis says so often that, I think I said it in my talk last week, we heal the sick, we cast out demons, and we raise the dead. And so what I want you to hear, because it's so personal this morning, is that we heal the sick when we are able to see health. You know, if I'm going to go visit somebody at the hospital, you do not want me to sit at your bedside in the hospital if you are really sick, and I'm going to sit there and see how sick you are and go, oh, and shake my head. Oh, you must be so uncomfortable, right? You know, that's not what we do. We go, we get ourselves geared up to sit there and see that, oh, there's life. Look at this gorgeous healing. You could see the radiance of someone recovering from something if you set your vision to catch it. When somebody has passed, the way we raise the dead is to know that they are no longer there, that they have risen to a greater expression of life. And when we cast out demons, we're getting rid of any idea of evil or error thinking or even the craziness, you might say, in life. It's how do we stand in those situations and see truth? And that's what I will say. I think every class we teach here gives you some little thread of how to do all of those things. So healthy-minded thinking, in the simplest way you might say, is being able to not focus on the illness, to not focus on the loss, but to focus on more, to see the beauty that's still there, and to know what's possible, and to know that we are always healing in the way that we are always being restored to our wholeness. Noli said to me, he's not gone. And she lit up and she said, I can feel him more today than I could last week when he was in that bed in the back room. right? Why is that? You know, we're not alone. If you've experienced that loss, you know that's true. You know that there's a shell of what used to hold that person, but that that life is continuing in some other way that we cannot see with our eyes. But if we can get into that state of grace that seems to be what I'm speaking of, that I'm witnessing in Noli, then we can see that there's something more going on. We are part of creating that consciousness that is dominated by those positive ideas of health. So, health, we could say being healthy gives us happiness, except that I don't think that usually when I'm healthy, I'm not thinking about, gee, I'm so happy, I'm healthy, you know, I'm vibrant, I'm living. It's only when we're not healthy that we think about how it would feel to be healthy. But I think we could turn it around and we could say that happiness makes you healthier. Being happy makes you healthier. I always think of Deepak Chopra. Happy thoughts make happy molecules, that everything in my body is going to function at a higher level when I've got happiness and joy in my life and peace and love and all those God qualities. So I revisited the happiness, the set point theory of happiness, and it's something I like to talk about. They did all those great studies in the early 2000s. And what the theory is that we, all of us as human beings, it's just a theory, but they're speaking at it in this great scientific way, is that our subjective well-being is really determined in part by our sort of genetic disposition, our genes, the family, the environment you were raised in, the kind of habits that were ingrained in you when you were at those developmental stages, and that what we know in the world of science, they're saying that accounts for about 50% of how happy you are. This is not really news. I've been saying it for a long time, but here's a part I didn't realize till this week as I reviewed that research. That there's a piece of that graph, they do it in a round graph, so half of it is genetic predisposition, kind of. There's a 10% sliver of the pie that is where we move around based on the conditions we're moving through. So you win that great academic award for something you've been working at for a long time, or you're an athlete and you win the big prize, the big trophy, or your team does, you're happier. There is a way it gives us more happiness for a while. And then you return right back to your 50% set point. Right? And the same is true, fortunately, the same is true if something difficult happens in your life. You get in a terrible accident. You experience a dramatic loss or change in a relationship. That certainly changes the level of happiness you're experiencing day to day, but only for a while. If it goes on longer than a while, you are playing in the 40% of choice. And that's the way it is. 40% of our experience of happiness is about what we are willing to name happiness in our own life, how we are willing to intend to experience happiness in our own life. So the website that I called on after I read all that again was the thoughtmedicine.com. Really good website. Thoughtmedicine.com had seven simple ways to raise your happiness set point. Seven simple ways. And you know what? All seven of them we teach here and have taught here for almost 100 years in this philosophy, way before they had any studies. So the number one thing is that you focus on solution instead of your problem. Amen. You're going through chemotherapy, that you just know how happy you are, that chemo is created to take everything bad that you don't want in that body if you have decided for on that treatment. If you are seeing a lawyer to begin or to end some new situation in your life, you find a way to see that in that 40%. You make an intention. You see it in a way that works for you positively. So we choose our health. There's a certain amount of this where we choose our health or we choose life because we simply cannot dodge death. Birth and death happen, you know. This is here for a while. It's not here forever. I get to live in it for a while. And then there's always this graduation that happens. That's why I like that we call it a transition. Oh, he transitioned last week. You know, he set aside this body. So our physical body, when it can no longer take care of us, changes the vibration level of our life, of our livingness, and then our life is no longer dependent on the body. See, this is a healthy way to look at it. Death is not the enemy. It's just a change. It's just a way we can express greater life. Holmes said again and again, there is no life. The mystics say, no death. The mystics say there is no death. There is only life. Life itself cannot be interrupted. Now, Emma Curtis Hopkins said, it's going to get very important here, so get ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, you might want to take a note here. I don't know. Emma Curtis Hopkins is always reminding us, I said this last week, that what you believe about God impacts your experience in life, okay? So she's always encouraging us to have a deeper and a deeper and a deeper understanding of what we believe about God, an understanding of God. And when we gain a positive understanding of God, we will experience a healthier life. That's healthy-minded living, you might say. So Emma says that if you think that God tests you, or that if you think experiencing a disease is given to you so that you can be strengthened in some way, teaching you some kind of a lesson, that is a morbid fear, and that belief will be a blot between you and the right state of good health. Listen carefully to the rest of this. Page bottom of 109, top of 110 in Scientific Christian Mental Practices. This one makes me laugh. If you hate tobacco or rum, and you place a judgment on those who use them, the people in your life that smoke or drink, you place a judgment on them, you are putting a dark steel-like screen between you and the sight of good health. I know this is radical stuff. When we block our sight from good and we can't see health in others, we are stopping the divine healing energy of God from flowing through our own being.
Amen.
Whew, this is big stuff. I'm not standing here like I don't have judgments, right? But it occurred to me when because I couldn't let this one go. It occurred to me that when I only think harshly about anybody I see smoking, then what happens is I'm not only having a judgment about them, I'm not only not seeing the truth about them, but I am blocking the flow of divine healing energy in my own body. This is why I have said to you since the day I walked through those doors, I have said to you, we serve life because it's holy, not because it's broken. We have to find a way to not go to the hospital or go to somebody's house to sit with them and see how awful everything is. If you're seeing what's awful, I mean, and then maybe that's why we don't even do those things, because we're scared of how awful it might be. Or we're scared of catching it, you know, whatever that is. But these are important things to say. Now, the more I played with this, I thought, but what if it didn't say tobacco and rum? Because I think tobacco and rum are good. You know, my mother was a smoker, and if I smell lipstick and tobacco in the same way, all I get is just pissed off at my mom because she wouldn't quit smoking. What good does that do anybody? You know, my mother passed in 1998. Why would that still piss me off? Oh, did I just say that?
It's a spiritual term.
We'll have to make a holy acronym out of it, right? But then I was thinking the rum is a little trickier because there's a whole bunch of us, I hear it so frequently, where we say, yeah, I grew up in a house with alcoholic parents. That's all we can see. That is like so over, and still that's all we can see, and we know why, as if it's going to protect us in some way, because it doesn't. But I will say to you that if we're still stuck on that stuff, we're stopping the divine healing energy of God from flowing through our own being. And then that was so interesting to me. I thought, what if it said this? If you hate liberals or conservatives, you are putting a dark steel-like screen between you and life. And you are blocking the sight of good from your own being, and you are blocking the flow of healing energy in your own body. What if it said, we could go down the list, immigrants, gays, rich people. You know, don't be sitting there thinking you don't got biases. We all got biases. What if it's motorcycle hoodlums? Oh, none of you would have that bias. We're all good with motorcycle hoodlums. Right, honey? Just say right. Just shake your head. I wanted to close today by reading you this profoundly dynamic quote from Emma Curtis, because it sure makes me think. Emma says, doctors think their healing power acts through drugs. You think your healing power acts through words. But all the time, that healing power is operating through the one who has confidence in their good as their health. It doesn't matter. You know, we say it does a pill or a prayer. This is not a faith. This is not a spiritual philosophy that has any opinion about any of that. We as individuals have our opinions. We have our preferences. By the way, I love that hair product you gave me. Really have a preference for that hair product now, right? So it doesn't matter. Doctor thinks it's drugs. You think it's the healing power of your word. But all the time, that healing power is operating through the one who has confidence in the good as health. Now listen to this final sentence. Any act, any thought, any feeling which evinces confidence in good will have the power of God acting through it at once. Amen. At once. Not 7 days. Not after you take get the prescription filled, not when somebody prays over you, at once. That's why we teach practitioners to pray for themselves, to convince themselves of the truth of the person they are praying for. So we're looking at healthy-minded living today, and I just want to reiterate, it is about knowing that health is our natural state. We're not saying there is no disease. Disease is a fact. Death is a fact that leads us to seeing that there's greater life expressing, even when it looks quite the opposite. This is about learning that there is a power in the universe that governs our health. It's not we ourselves that make ourselves better. It's not about making decisions. It's not about anything that is less than God's pure love. And the last thing I'm going to say today that's so vital and important is make your decisions, your for healthy-minded living, make them out of love. Make them from pure love, because if you are not eating healthy because you love putting that good food in you and it feels good as you're chewing it and it's going in and it's colorful and it's alive and it feels wonderful and it's fueling your body. If you are eating it for any reason other than good, you are coming from a fear-based start. And so your approach, even though you've studied all of this, you've researched it on the internet, oh goodness, don't do that. You've researched it and you know about the toxins and the metals and all the stuff we're all worried about, how our food is raised. Those are good concerns. But if you are only eating well because of fear, that is all fear, then you are missing the point that healthy-minded living comes from love and that God is love. And so when we make choices for our well-being from that love position, then it's a whole different way of showing up. God loves to say yes. So this is about healthy-minded living. It is about cultivating a consciousness that will bring us closer to understanding the difference between how we approach these choices. Do not see disease as a threat. There's nothing out to get you, nothing and no one against me. It's about knowing that Reverend Noli is most blessed by our love, not our sadness. Let us see life. Let us see health. Let us desire it, want it, yearn for it, and appreciate it, and love it. Take a breath, and we're going to anchor these ideas in those most holy words of prayer. So for a moment, we just allow all of these thought-provoking ideas to just settle in this room, knowing that whatever it is we are here for today, even if we can't grab it right in this moment, that there is a truth that has been spoken and heard. So whatever we need will be remembered. I just feel the love of God. That movement of life circulating in this room. I know it is that all-knowing presence of God. I know it is that infinite intelligence of all the universe. It is the peace. It is the joy. It is the happiness and the goodness and the beauty of life itself, and it is everywhere present. It is freely given, so it is right here, right now, in this room. It is stirring within us, so the truth of our being is awakened in such a way that we recognize all that we need, we already have. I feel the love of God within me, and I know that it is that love, the most powerful force in all the universe, that is restoring each of us to a higher recognition of truth and of wholeness. And as we are aware of that perfection, of that beautiful pattern for life that is perfect for our experience, that we begin to put one foot in front of the other and we go exactly where we need to go and we say exactly what we need to say at exactly the perfect time. For in love, all things are possible. And the activity of life is never more poignant, more beautifully stirred than in the awareness of God's sweet, sweet love. And so even as we know Reverend Noli is held sweetly in the hands of God right now, being carried through with the fullness of grace because she opens herself to receive it, that we too, we watch that example, we learn from this story, and we open ourselves even now. In this moment, we open ourselves to feel that fullness of life embracing us. know that it is cultivating that healthy-minded thinking that is the living, that is the living of the highest order. And so wherever there has been an appearance of dis-ease in our lives, we call on a higher truth. We set aside all our concerns and all of our fears, and we open ourselves to that radiant guiding light of Spirit itself, to know that we activate that healing, that vibrancy of health, that wholeness every time we are willing to see life, to see health, to see and witness wellness and beauty and grace. So I say thank you, God, for I know that as we embody these truths, we open ourselves to a higher perspective of living, and we are blessed in every way, so that we come to realize there is no limitation. God is our source. It is God that sustains us and guides us and heals us and holds us. And we are already given that wisdom in our bodies and in our minds. And in that glorious way, we have forever access to the divine imagination. And so in that spirit of deep, deep gratitude for this and for so much more, we simply release the words of this prayer and allow them to be, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.